Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for life and that we get to live with the many blessings that we have at this time and in this place. Thank you for that, Lord. We ask you to guide and protect us from both the future troubles that we see and those which we do not know about. Thank you for the friends and family and for the joy of knowing you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So many of us live for the present day without much thought given to the eternity which awaits us, or even to the indicators of trouble coming to a town or a neighborhood near you. Without the active presence of God, Jesus, in our life, troubles are sure to come, both in a spiritual and in a physical sense. Spiritually, we have a relation with Jesus, and that's what we pay attention to. Physically, there are some measures we can take, like to think about what is going on around us, to plan how to avoid troubles, and preferably, in writing, to have a plan. That is what the think, plan, and do method is that will give us reasonable changes as we, well, think, plan, and do. Maybe because of cash flow or maybe because of other ideas that are better, we do make changes. Plans can change because circumstances can change. So just continue in your forward movement as you carry out your weekly or monthly steps forward. Preparing includes not overdoing it, but to continue in the direction that you are going. As a society, we have gotten used to buying only what we need, just when we need it. But is that a principle that we really want to live by? If we follow that principle to the extreme, you would buy groceries only when you were hungry, and you would put gasoline into your car only when your gauge was on empty. And who would ever pay a bill before it was due? Well, we have to wonder, what is normal and what is excessive to do in our planning and our actions? And I suppose it depends on what your life experience is. For instance, if you just were discharged from the military and your job was to oversee planning for a nuclear disaster, then a 5-year food supply would seem normal to you. But it's not normal to most of us. So yes, life experience makes a big difference to determine what normal is. Often enough, what we think about doing is not normal, it's just different. And I think about, what if we were a different occupation? Like if we were farmers, we would have a different life experience. Just watching the days get longer and shorter gives you a different rapport with the earth. So just think. In the summer, sunrise is about 5:30, And sunset is about 8:30. That means 15 hours of daylight. And in the winter, sunrise would be 7:30 and sunset at 4:30. That's 9 hours of sunlight. So there is 15 hours or 9 hours of sunlight. So doesn't that just help you to understand how the changing circumstances give us not just a different perspective of hot and cold or winter and summer, but it gives you a different perspective of the cycle of the earth that you are in. 15 hours versus 9 hours of sunlight is a pretty big difference. And there are other cycles that affect our life that they're not so clear to us. For instance, there are wet years and dry years. And there are years where we have insect infestations that eat our crops or not. And probably there are even cycles to earthquakes and volcanoes, but we don't really understand those yet. We do seek to understand cycles so that we can form a plan to overcome the negative effects of an unexpected event. But unexpected events certainly do happen in our individual life and in the life of our whole society. Here's one, for instance, 2,000 years ago, when Caesar ordered everyone in his empire to go back to their hometown for a census count. Then Joseph and Mary traveled to Jerusalem. That was where Jesus was born, just as Scripture foretold. It was unexpected, but foretold. Well, these days we have had society-wide events. Starting in 2000, there was that pandemic lockdown, and people stayed in their houses in many countries. They were ordered to. And I know this is kind of interesting. It is relating to events that are foretold in the Bible. You see, the devil copies biblical patterns. And I just have to wonder, or well, a little bit, but other people mostly, they wonder if the Antichrist could be born at a cycle like that when people were ordered to go to their homes. It's just a real speculation, but it's just a thought. Well, the point is about people looking for patterns so that we can understand what is coming in the future. That's really what this is about, why we look for patterns, so that we can overcome the difficulties or the obstacles that would keep us from having a comfortable, a safe, and secure life. And therefore, people throughout time have made an effort to save and stockpile what we might be needing for the future. Now, in the olden times, this was called a storehouse. And not so many people have a storehouse these days, but the bigger companies do. They put things aside so that they can sell things. And that's just a cycle that is a difference between olden days and modern days. Now, in these modern days, there's a little twist on this concept. And that twist is something we call insurance. Insurance is kind of like the old concept of storing up for a rainy day, but instead we are paying somebody what we call insurance to save up for us. And so we do have the concepts of storehouses in the ancient days, and we are putting a different twist on it in the modern days. And that's what we are doing. Is it better to change God's idea of a storehouse? Well, we do tinker with all sorts of concepts, don't we? Yes, we do. Hey, another one we have tinkered with is the concept of corporations. See, back in the time when the United States was first formed, corporations were viewed with suspicion, and anybody who owned a business or a corporation would be fully, personally liable for what the company did or made, or if that product harmed anyone. That's the olden day concept. And that is why some corporations incorporate in one state or another. And you have probably heard on advertisements or in literature that a company says it is, quote unquote, a Delaware corporation. And the reason that businesses incorporated in Delaware was because they had a reduced tax liability in Delaware, and there were other reduced legal liabilities for corporations in Delaware. So that happened as the big businessmen pushed politicians to adjust the laws, of course, to make it more favorable for them. And that process continued over the decades, and somehow it happened in 1906, where the courts ruled that corporations were to have some of the benefits of legally being a person. Pretty interesting to call a corporation a person. Well, of course, both sides of that legal argument made their position known, and these arguments presented their strong points. And of course, the people were swayed to call corporations as having some qualities of an individual legal status. People are swayed when they don't have a firm standing or a firm God-oriented biblical principle behind what they believe. And so we have things that are changing in our world today. Things like, look at him, yeah. Is a boy a girl? When can that be? Or what sex do you get to choose to be? Yeah, that can be in school, that can be at work, and that can be on your driver's license. Good question, huh? What do you choose to be? Well, there are some of these fundamental beliefs that get adjusted if we favor a God-oriented overview or a man-oriented overview. And then we get to know pretty clearly what truth we will abide in. Without a biblical basis, there are no firm belief systems to stand on. And so, in recent years, we can look at some of the elite scientists or the elite families that are trying to join a human brain to artificial intelligence with a robotic body. And so ask yourself, would that be a human if it has a human brain or a human brain that is uploaded to the cloud? Well, we are probably going to have to answer these questions. Would an uploaded human brain be allowed to vote? Good question. And how about if you have a artificial intelligence with a pleasant face that speaks well? Could they vote? I mean, there's one of those right now that is called Sophia. Very popular AI. Well, you can see, concepts can be twisted. How do things happen? How did that 1906 court ruling happen anyway? For corporations being allowed to have some individual human rights. Well, there are things going on, and the news just keeps coming. Just a few days ago, I heard a news report saying that language could become obsolete in 10 years. It was said during an interview with Joe Rogan and Elon Musk that a brain chip was being developed that would allow a universal language to be spoken directly into the brain using a universal language. Well, you just have to wonder, are these concepts going to expand or what? Well, sure, you can look at the Bible for a guide, and it seems to indicate the answer is yes. But what are we going to say about it? What are we going to follow in our own lives and vote for? See, we don't know at what point we will have to make these decisions. Maybe we will, maybe our grandchildren will. But somehow we have to identify the challenges and know what discernment to use and talk about it with those children and grandchildren. See, they consider us old-fashioned anyway. And I think about me, I'm kind of old-fashioned too. See, for me, my grandparents were all born in the 1800s, so I have a certain thought patterns that are older. But I still think about the new things and wonder how we're going to interact with them. I think about the new concepts. I listen to the news. Sure, we can do that, and we have to remember that our children and grandchildren are going to be faced with these same kind of changes and challenges. There will be brand new issues going on today and in a few years. So I think it is good to be aware of what is going on so that the changes do not catch us unaware. And one of the changes I see that is coming up fast is the cryptocurrency. And is that preparing us for the beast system? And you can see this theme is at work. It is being put into place right in these very years. On a video, I have heard the Federal Reserve insiders discuss what is coming. It's what they would talk about is a new cryptocurrency system. Some changes are talked about in 2021, but mostly the talk is for 2022. I don't know, that doesn't give us a whole lot of time to think about things, does it? Because usually our thoughts are slower than what their plans are. So we get caught unaware. Well, just consider it all. We ask our Lord Jesus to grant us mercy and understanding as we deal with what is coming our way. And please, Lord, let us fulfill God's good plan and purpose. Well, I expect whatever is coming to happen kind of suddenly. That is the way it seems to work. And I think back 20 years ago, when we had new money that suddenly appeared, and for us regular people, well, we had heard about it for 5 years before that, maybe even longer, that it was coming. We heard that it was printed and all ready to go. It was whispered. It wasn't talked about on any regular channels or by any regular people. It was just kind of a rumor, whispered. And then it happened. It happened suddenly that we had new money. And right now there's things going on at the Fed, which is the Federal Reserve, and they have been talking about the new cryptocurrency for a few years now. And perhaps suddenly, one day, it will simply be upon us. And we will be using a CBDC, which is Central Bank Digital Currency, just like some other countries are. China, the European nation, Sweden and Singapore, they use it. Lots of other countries are looking into it. So, what will happen? Well, it's pretty sure that we know what's going to happen. There was a report out just recently that the Bank for International Settlements, which is associated with the United Nations, they said that 80% of the 200 central banks around the world are considering a CBDC, which is Central Bank Digital Currency. Hey, it looks like it's coming, doesn't it? Now, there are a few concerns that some people have about cryptocurrency, or more, it's about the blockchain technology, but those things kind of go together, and if they don't today, they will soon go together. And blockchain technology identifies all the purchases that are made and who makes them. That means in this world, there would be no more anonymous purchases. And we would not have the anonymity of making a purchase with cash. And everybody would know, or at least the people who looked would know, what you were spending your money on. No secrets. If you bought a few hundred pounds of white rice or a few hundred flashlight batteries, it would be known. And I guess you would be known as a prepper, or maybe you would be known as a source to acquire some supplies from. Well, it is a new time. New things are happening. Now, sure, we never expect things to happen quickly, but they do. I mean, that's a historical reality. Surprises happen, and they happen quickly. And that's another reason why we prep, so that we can get things in advance. I mean, it can be just this regular use things. That's all, like gas and groceries or food supplies or whatever it is. We can get those in advance. And it just seems like if somebody is doing less preparing than you are, they are not as wise as you are. If somebody is doing as much preparing as you are, well, then they're pretty wise. And if somebody is doing more prepping than you are, then they are really an over-the-top crazy prepper. Well, I guess I said that as a sense of humor. I did. That was supposed to be a funny. But it's kind of true. And I'm going to mention a group of preppers that are special to me. And they are the people who are caring for other people. And yes, they are moms and dads. But they are also people who are caring for other people in our society. The young and the old and the afflicted. Those people also have to make plans to prepare. Maybe not what we're thinking of, but they still need to prepare. There are people caring for other people. And there are organizations like that too. And I certainly don't mean only our government. Our government is doing that too. They have plans to prepare for the just in case for the most elite of the governing people and for the military. So there's a place for Congress to go and the Senate and the President and the Supreme Court. But they don't have any shelters for us regular folk to go into. That is for us to do. We have to take care of things ourselves. And that is just the way it is. As we examine this, we will have some hard decisions to make and some easy decisions to make. It's always just a little bit different, but you do have to figure out your orientation to the idea of preparedness. Think about what your responsibility is and your ability is and what it takes to carry out the plan. That's all a part of preparing for the just in case. So now, the very first thing first is we all live forever. So our preparation has to be to be with Jesus in heaven. That is where we want our eternal destiny to be, with God, Jesus, and not that other awful place to go. And so we have to have a little bit of evidence that shows that this is our choice. Now, you can read the Bible and see what you think. And by the way, please do read the Bible. It will tell you all about that, and then you get to see why some people believe a little differently. Well, they just do. And you need to figure out, with God speaking to you through His Word in the Bible, what you believe, and not believe somebody who is on the radio or in a church or anything else. You look for yourself. It doesn't take much to read that little book. It's only about 250 pages, more or less. And 250 pages of the New Testament is not very much to read. You can do it. So get your information firsthand from the Bible, from the God who wrote the Bible. It's just a wise thing to do. Well, some people will wonder, what does God want us to do? What does Jesus tell you to do? Well, there are things that tell you about what to do. They are all through the Bible. They are examples of what goes right and what goes wrong for people. There are also Proverbs and Psalms and lots of examples telling us how it is best to live. And of course, our best thing is to live forever in heaven with Jesus and not that dark, smelly place where there is torture in hell. So, yeah, look at it. Take a good read and then make a decision. Live your decision. So, there are a great number of things happening around us. And speaking of preparation, if we have a little preparation with extra Bibles and hymnals, that is a really good idea. Have some extra for other people, and when you give them away, just make sure they want them, because we don't know how long a disruption would last. That is something that is a great big puzzle, but we can make some assumptions. And some people say a big disruption would last days, others weeks, others months, and others years. So you have to just consider that when you are getting your preparations together. And that includes Bibles and hymnals. So a good indicator about what to expect is always to look at patterns. And yes, the experts can tell you what to expect, but You have a good brain. You can figure out these things also. Have a look. See what the patterns are telling you. What events are normal, or should we expect some unusual events in the future? There are also things in the Bible which are, well, they're foretold, and that makes them kind of normal, but they are unusual in history. And that's something we all have to make a discernment and a judgment about. What are we going to do, and when are we going to do it? I know in the past there's a lot of people who have had mistaken ideas, and that's just life. We do the best we can, and we keep going. We all make mistakes. Oh, I was just thinking of a mistake made 3 years ago in Hawaii. The public alert system broadcast that, quote, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. Unquote. Boy, that shook a few people up. And there were other things like that that happened in other parts of the world and the United States. Not quite the same, but similar. So we have to wonder, were these things accidents or intentional? You know, it was said that somebody just pushed the wrong button and the alert went out. But I do remember when that happened, and I remember hearing from two sources. One was a national radio host, and they said they could not understand how this could happen because in order for a public alert to go out like that, it had to go through 5 levels of approval before it goes out. So probably that's just exactly the way it is. 5 levels of approval approved that message. How did it happen? And there were other messages that were approved both in the United States and other parts of the world to say that a threat was immediate. Why? Why would this be? To prepare us? Well, we can all take our guess and kind of make sense of it. I don't think there is an answer that we know, anyway, not today. Maybe it will come out. But there are things that we get to discern as we go along. There could be some real events coming, big events, that we simply are not expecting. They're probably going to be emergencies. And what are we going to do about them? Well, just look in the last weeks. There have been several. There have been that Colonial Pipeline shutdown. Hackers got into that company's control system, and they shut down the pipeline. And a $5 million ransom was paid to that secret Russian group. Well, oh yeah, and now there's something else going on. The world's largest meat packager has been shut down, JBS. It has locations in different countries and around the United States. Lots of people are out of work. But not only that, we are not going to be able to get the beef and meat that we were expecting. Another item on the news was the New York Transit Agency was shut down because it was reported Chinese hackers had gotten into their system. So these things are going on. And there have been reports about hackers in our financial systems as well. That has been something that has been going on for years. Sometimes they get public, and sometimes you have to read them in an industry magazine. But these things do happen. They have happened. And losses are huge. There was that 2008 crisis There was a financial advisor and author, James Rickards, and he says, another event very much like the 2008 crises could bring down the entire world economy. Yeah, he said that that 2008 crisis was just hours away from spreading to the whole world and causing a worldwide collapse. So, it goes to show you that things are going on in this world. They would be pretty serious if they happened. And so, we want to examine what we ought to be doing to prepare for a crisis, a time of crises. And we can be pretty sure that a crisis will hit without warning. That's just the way things have gone. No warning. And all of a sudden, there it is. And we do know that there are plans going on to do all sorts of things. One of them is to have a worldwide currency. Now, this one has been discussed for years, but now there are plans being made to replace, well, all currencies with a new worldwide currency. And it would probably be backed by the World Bank. So they would make that currency plentiful again and boost up the economy after a time of crises. And of course we wonder, would this happen? We wonder, could it happen? How could things get so out of hand? Well, they can, and they have, and they would have if we didn't stop things. That's what we are facing today. We are facing crises upon crises that could turn into a great big shutdown event of something. And sure, I think of society shutting down. I think of the banking system shutting down. I think of the electrical system shutting down because of something that was intentionally done to shut it down. Now, when that happens, people think we're talking about a biblical kind of event. Oh, I don't know about that. What is a biblical event? Has to be pretty big, doesn't it? Well, if there is a biblical event coming, I would think it would be Revelation 13:17, where no one will buy or sell unless they receive the mark of the beast on their right hand or in their forehead. You know, that keeps getting closer and closer. Is it here yet? Nope, not here yet, but it could be coming pretty soon. Lots of people or researchers are finding ways to make this work. And so we have to see what we want to do about it. How are we going to, well, prepare for it? What are we going to do? See, there are people that do think like this. They think about controlling and containing one population or another. That's just life. So we have to think about the truth of it and the ability to happen. So there are plenty of people who are telling everyone, don't worry, it's okay. Before anything really bad happens, we will be raptured out of there. Well, yeah, it might be. But again, look at history. You can see there were an awful lot of bad things that happened to people. And did they get raptured? Well, it wasn't a public rapture if they did. So We have people today that are either all ready to be raptured out of any problem that they might see that was big in front of them. And that means they are taking no preparedness steps to survive till the end. And doesn't that just make me think of Matthew 24:13, which reads, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." Well, what does that mean anyway? Let's take a key word here. A key phrase, enduring till the end. So enduring means there has to be something to endure, something that's not easy. And till the end is a time frame which gets a lot of people arguing what it means. Oh boy, it sure does. But my point on this is to say that there are different interpretations of what is coming. And how do we deal with it? I mean, just look at Matthew 24:4. Briefly, it says that deception and wars and famines and pestilences and earthquakes will be on earth. What are you getting ready for? Are we going to be here for that? We already have had those things happen, and we as human beings or mankind were here. The timing of it all, well, we can argue that, but also let's look at history. History shows us that we are here through those things. Deception, wars, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. We have, as humankind, been here on earth through those events. But we can argue the timing. Sure, that's a good thing to do. When will the rapture be here? Will the church be spared from the wrath of God? Oh yes, it certainly will. But I think of the things in the past that have really caught Christians and other peoples in real bad situations. I think of Corrie ten Boom, who said the Christian missionaries who went to China actually did disservice to the Chinese people, because they preached a pre-tribulation rapture which would take the people out of any great hardship. Out of hardship, out of persecution, out of death. But when the Communist Revolution came in China during the 20th century, those Chinese Christians suffered immensely. So that's why she said that the Christian missionaries did a disservice to the Chinese people. Therefore, I strongly advocate that we ought to have some food, some things on hand that are supplies for us, for a group, for people in general. And I can hardly guess what it should be. I just mean that everybody should have something, because we are targeted. Every one of us is. Humanity is. Besides that, Christians are. Besides that, other people groups are targeted for extermination. That has happened in history, and it no doubt will continue into the future. At various times, there will be much persecution. Another thing that could happen is that we could have a state of anarchy. Many nations have had anarchy within them, and that is something where we want to have food and supplies on hand for. See, when things get violent and disruptive in the streets, there will be a lot of people who will not want to leave their house at all. And so they'll stay inside and they'll want to have food to eat. So isn't that a good reason to have some supply of food? Yes, because it's just happened all over the world that when there is a time of upheaval, there is violence, robbery, and all sorts of things. There are even people who don't go out shopping because they are concerned if they leave their house will be robbed. That is the way it has been in plenty of other countries. It's not unusual. It just hasn't been our turn. But it might come to this country. I mean, just look at what we are doing. When we are abandoning God, do you think God will take a step back from us as a people, as a nation, as America? Well, it could happen, and that's the only thing I want to say about it right now. It could happen, and because the cost would be so great, we ought to get some of our preparedness supplies in hand. I know there are a lot of people who are actually worried. They are concerned in a big way. Well, look at last year's gun sales. Last year, there were 40 million guns sold total. And of those, almost 15% were first-time gun buyers. And that tells me that there's a lot of people that are concerned about what could happen to our nation and in our nation. Things are changing, and people are getting very concerned. You want to say scared? Okay, that's also a word you could use. But the problem is not to stay scared. You want to look at the solution, which is to do something about it and get prepared. And I always think of the basics of water, food, and warmth. So other people have different basics. I mean, look at the people who are buying guns. They are concerned about that. But that's a really big step to take. If you're one of those, please consider it carefully. Consider the aftermath of using one. Well, in the last 100 years, we have had all sorts of things go on. It's history. And there has been violence in the world in the last 100 years. Sure, lots of violence. Lots of extreme behavior. So, in some countries, anything you have would make you a target. If you had food, that would make you a target. If you had a nice gun, any gun, or a knife, that would make you a target. And they would just wait for you for the perfect moment, and then pop, you're gone. And so is your gun or your nice whatever it is. That's what was happening in several countries around the world. It was actually widespread. But somehow that news does not get reported here. But it is a real thing that has happened. And since it has happened in other countries, we know it could happen here. Our country is changing. We are having a different attitude that is going on, and we have to be aware of it. There are all sorts of things that we might be faced with, and they are serious things. I think of an electrical power grid down. And could you imagine having no power for several weeks or no internet? For several weeks? I mean, we find it hard to get through a few days without electricity. Just think what it would be like to go through a few weeks without it, or a few weeks without water. See, you need electricity to pump the water. Well, yeah, there's emergency generators, but they only have so much fuel. And sometimes those generators are not properly kept up and they break down. So there is just things going on to be aware of, and we ought to be aware that we can be harmed if we don't have what we need. If there's some things that you are considering that you need to be in a program for, then try to find a substitute for whatever it is. There are substitutes. They don't work as good, but there are substitutes. There's something. I know that there have always been the concern about the grid down. That has been going on for years, where we've learned about the Carrington effect in 1859. That was caused by EMP, or coronal mass ejection. There was also an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, caused by a nuclear explosion in the atmosphere. That was done on purpose in 1963. It was called Operation Starfish Prime. And 900 miles away from Hawaii, they exploded a nuclear bomb in the atmosphere, 30,000 feet, roughly. And that knocked out all the civilian electricity to Hawaii. Gone. No more electricity. 900 miles away. So we know these things can happen, either because of a natural event or a man-caused event. These things do happen and can happen. And we don't want to have the bad effects from it so that we do not suffer. I think we want to have supplies. Speaking of supplies, if those things happen, it is very unlikely that we are going to get resupplied quickly. And that's a part of the problem with a major event like that. There's no place to resupply from. Now, there have been hurricanes and tornadoes and some kind of an electrical event around the United States in the past dozen or 2 years. And we've got through that. Why? Because it was a local event, and the places that were not affected could send their supplies in to the affected areas. So how big are we talking about? How big do we have a concern that our electrical grid would go down? Well, there are plenty of people who talk about it. Congress looked into it, and amazingly, I don't know how, but they allocated $0 to alleviate the grid down problem. They could have completely eliminated that possibility with, what, I think it was $5 billion. But they would not allocate that money to protect our electrical grid. So we are still vulnerable, while the other countries of the world, especially the major ones, they have protected their electrical grid from an EMP. At least their military functions within the electrical grid. So we have a vulnerability, and it could affect us. So what do? We think about it as a potential problem. The degree of it is completely up to you and me and each one of us to decide. But if you want to look at that EMP report to Congress, just look up Dr. Peter Pry, or Peter Pry, PhD, I should say. Now, those were more or less 10 years ago. He really made some excellent reports. He did extensive research as to what would cause our grid to go down and what the effects would be. Was that if we went without electricity for 1 year, somewhere between 60 and 90% of our population could die. That's pretty big. So it's a reason for us to find it important to do something about that aspect of preparedness. Of course, we all have different things that affect us. Where are your special concerns? What do you want to deal with to have extra of? And I'll say again, my concern is water, food, and warmth. And sure, there's so many people who are talking about security these days. That can mean a gun, yes. But that can also mean having secured windows, plywood over your doors and windows. It can mean having a system that announces the presence of someone. Think about it, make a plan, and then do it. Don't do too much. You have to realize what your capability is and your abilities. There can be too much you can do, but by all means, do something in a regular manner so that you can continually work on your preparedness for the just in case. Now, a final thought here is, well, we don't know when any of us would call our preparations complete, but it's a good idea to think about continually adding to your preparedness items, and that way it's ongoing and on your mind, so that when you find something you think is a better idea, you can take that idea and run with it. The other final thought here, which is the most important of all, is that Earth is not our final home. Our life on Earth is short, and our most important life is in the hereafter, and we want to live faithfully to God, Jesus, so that we spend eternity with God, Jesus, and not that other place. So, look into it yourself. There's a book all about it that'll help you understand. It's called the Bible. By all means, read that. And if you're concerned about preparing for some of the earthly things, then write to me for my free preparedness pamphlet. Write to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And you can always listen to another broadcast of Christ Today, or one that has been on the air previously, by going to www.christtoday.org. That's all lowercase and no spaces. And now, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.